From the Southeast Asian capital city of the Philippines, Manila, I bid you all good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be in the world's time zones, many as, and there are many of them. It's, in fact, afternoon as I speak to you here in my darkened room. I'm Art Bell, and this, ladies and gentlemen, is the largest overnight talk radio program in the world. It's called Coast to Coast AM. And I'm filling in for George Norrie, who's taking a well-deserved night off. And it's going to be a very interesting program tonight. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Let me fill you in on some news here in a moment. First, I guess, all the ABs are certainly healthy and well. In fact, if you go up to the website, you will see a photograph of the ABs at the zoo, the Manila Zoo, and what we're holding in our hands, the three of us, is, an alligator. It's an alligator. Now, they had a little tape around the front of his mouth there so that it, you know, wouldn't eat Asia or some part of us or something. But it is indeed an alligator. There's no question about it. Alligator and then a couple of birds sitting on our shoulders there. Kind of interesting. Manila Zoo is pretty hands-on stuff. Let's see, what else is going on over here? Well, we have a big volcano getting ready to rip, and I'll tell you about that, too. During the time since I last spoke with you, we had martial law declared here. Well, not here in Manila, not here on Luzon, but down on the island of Mindanao, in a place called Maguindanao, which is sort of a large province on the island of Mindanao, and there was a slaughter down there by allegedly committed by the Ampatuans, the family down there that was in an argument with another family, and it was politics, and I'm sure you saw it in the news, and they declared martial law. And for a lot of us here in the Philippines, it was memorable of the last martial law, and it scared the hell out of everybody, frankly. But martial law has been uncalled, undeclared, and so we're back to normal. But the investigation, of course, continues. Mindanao is troubled frequently by terrorists of varying sorts and warlords and that sort of thing. Makes life interesting. Life is interesting here. Also, I noticed earlier today, I was very shocked. The traffic here in the Philippines is, how to put this? It's chaotic and it's congested, but there is, after you've been here for a year or so, there's a method to the madness and a sort of a way it works. Now, when you look at the traffic here, you would assume that there would be dead bodies littering the roads everywhere, but there aren't. It doesn't move fast because it's too congested to move fast. So you don't have a lot of really terrible accidents, except the guys on motorcycles who are out of their minds, zipping around. They get clipped. But other than that, you get fender benders. And you don't really have, Filipinos don't have road rage. So I saw a headline earlier today in the news that there was a manhunt underway for somebody who allegedly shot somebody else over a road rage incident here in the Philippines. I went, what? Most Filipinos just expect that it's going to be terrible, and it's part of life. And so, you say, okay, that's the way it is. We're in traffic, you know, forget it. And then I looked a little closer, and sure enough, it's an American citizen. So, you know, if it's the first road rage thing I've ever seen over here, frankly, and turns out to be an American, kind of figures. We have no patience on the road at all, huh? And especially over here. I mean, an American over here has just got to adjust. If you don't adjust, you will go out of your mind. So you adjust. You become sort of Filipino. I think that's happening to me. So, you know, a lot has happened. I mean, volcanoes, I'll get to the volcano, martial law. It's kind of odd to be in a country where martial law is declared. I was actually in the Philippines last time martial law was declared by Ferdinand Marcos. And And I never even noticed, frankly. Of course, an awful lot of disappeared Filipinos did. I was on an Air Force base at that point, close to Vietnam. Anyway, let's look at the national news. You might really want to take a look at that Manila Zoo photo. If you click on it and then click on the next one that it takes you to, it gets bigger. So you can get a pretty good look. It was a lot of fun. Let's look at the U.S. news, or the world news, I suppose. Obama brokers climate deal, but it doesn't satisfy all. Of course not. 2 years of laborious negotiations on a climate agreement ended Friday with a political deal brokered by none other than our president, Barack Obama, with China. Now, China was being very recalcitrant. They just didn't want anybody checking up on whether or not they were really keeping the agreement. And some other emerging powers. But the whole thing was denounced by poor countries because it was non-binding, set no overall target for curbing greenhouse gas emissions. The German chancellor, a leading proponent of strong action to confront global warming, gave Copenhagen a grudging acceptance, but said she had mixed feelings about the outcome, called it only a first step. Well, I guess here it comes. After marathon talks, the Obama administration and Democratic leaders appear now to be in agreement with Nebraska Senator Ben Nelson late Friday to provide the crucial 60th vote needed for Senate passage of health care legislation. Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada intends to unveil a final package with changes in the long-debated legislation on Saturday, but he's confident it will prevail. So we'll see. Iranian forces crossed into Iraq, where they seized an oil well just over the two countries' disputed border. Now, Iraq and Iran had been, of course, old enemies since the fall of Saddam Hussein. Things had been improving. This certainly is not going to help. Get ready for snow. By the way, the temperature here is probably about 80 degrees or so. But reading about the Northeast, a major storm is moving up the Atlantic coast on the very last shopping weekend before Christmas. And it's threatening to shut down much of the region as officials warned of up to 20 inches of snow and significant power outages. People stocked up on groceries and other staples Friday after the National Weather Service issued storm warnings from the Carolinas all the way to Rhode Island. So, White Christmas coming up, folks, in the Northeast. Sounds interesting, but I think I'll enjoy it from our 80-degree weather here. Okay, well, here we go. I'm sure you may have seen pictures of it on CNN and elsewhere. There is a volcano a couple hundred miles to the south of me here in Manila. And it's a big one. And it's getting ready to go. Reading from a local news story, the Philippine Institute of Volcanology and Seismology on Friday warned that with Mayan volcanoes increasing restiveness, the chance of a hazardous eruption is now, in quotes, high. Alert level 3 remained hoisted over the Mayan volcano since an increasing trend is noticeable at present, they say. The possibility of a hazardous volcanic eruption is very high. Mayan volcano's activity intensified with 7 successive ash eruptions in a matter of 2 hours on Friday morning, 7:24, 7:25, 7:43, 8:32 a.m., 8:33 a.m., and 8:44 a.m., boom, 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 like that. They said the successive ash explosions are indications of an intensified activity of that volcano. He said 7 ash explosions were also recorded throughout the day on Thursday. Radio DZMM, how's that, reported that the 7:25 a.m. ash explosion went about a kilometer above the volcano's summit. They also detected about 248 volcanic earthquakes and tremors for the last 24 hours. They're saying if the volcano continues its increased activity, a major explosive eruption may happen very soon. Now, you may recall with Pinatubo, that it affected the world's weather for some time. Now, I'm hoping the explosion is not that big, because if it was, it would affect us here in Manila, and I suppose it would rain ash. They've got an 8-mile area, and they're moving everybody out of it. Well, they're trying to move everybody out of it. They've moved all the farmers out. It's a lot of people. Talking about between 30 and 50,000 people that the government is moving away from the volcano, but the farmers keep going back. You know, they're worried about the crops. They're worried about their animals. They're talking about a state of calamity. That's what they call it over here when this kind of thing happens. The military and the police on Thursday night began forcibly evacuating residents who have refused to be brought to temporary shelters, which are located outside the 6 to 8 kilometer danger zone of that volcano. The Provincial Disaster Coordinating Council expected to evacuate all 9,946 families from the danger zone on Friday. So that's still going on right now. Only military personnel are allowed inside the danger zone. And I must say, this could be a world event. It is a gigantic volcano. If you get a chance to see, you know, lava is spewing right now. So if you get a chance to take a look at some of the pictures on CNN and elsewhere. It's really something to see. It is nature at work. And these kind of calamities just seem to sort of visit themselves on this part of Southeast Asia. You know what I really want to do? I want to drive down there and see it. There was another more minor eruption in 2006, and I almost went then. This time, I may go. I really, really, really want to see it. I'll have a little more news. We'll take a break, then I'll have a little more news coming right up. All right. By the way, I'm still working on my antenna project. I don't have the final permissions. Things over here on this side of the world operate very, very slowly. And, you know, you get engineers and they have to make plans and everything. But eventually, with a little bit of luck, I'm going to have an antenna up on the roof here and going to be on the air. So it's getting closer. Inch by inch by inch. The paperwork is astronomical. From Paris, astronomers have discovered a new Earth-like planet. Hear about that? It's larger than our own world, may be more than half covered with water, according to a study published Wednesday in the science journal Nature. The so-called super-Earth is about 42 light years away. Now, that means if you could travel at the speed of light, it would take you 42 years to get there. So it's in another solar system, has a radius about 2.7 times larger than that of our planet, they think. The discovery of the planet, called GJ1214b, represents a major step forward in the search for worlds similar to Earth. The newfound world is, unfortunately, too hot to sustain life as we know it. That's too bad. Its density suggests, however, it is composed of about 3/4 water and other ice and 1/4 rock. So there are tantalizing hints that the planet has a gaseous atmosphere. Its temperature, estimated, well, somewhere between 280 and 120 degrees Celsius, 536 and 248 degrees Fahrenheit, respectively. No, we don't want to be there. With its host star about a fifth the size of the sun, despite its hot temperatures, this appears to be a water world, according to Zachary Berta, a graduate student who first spotted hints of the planet's presence. It is much smaller, cooler, and more Earth-like than any other known exoplanet. An exoplanet, of course, is one outside of our solar system. Berta said some of the water would likely be in crystalline form that exists at pressures greater than 20,000 times our Earth's sea level atmosphere. So even though it's Earth-like, it isn't that Earth-like. It would be good if we could find another planet that wouldn't be that far away. I use that term very loosely when we're talking about light years. Because the way things are going, we may eventually need one. This item, the Indian Space Research Organization, or ISRO, has announced a discovery a little over a year ago that may indicate there may be life on the surface of the moon in some places. Now, wait a minute. The incredible discovery was yet another groundbreaking lunar revelation thanks to India's Chandrayaan 1 probe. Those who have been following that probe remember it was the first lunar probe to detect signs of water on the moon. This, of course, was confirmed later by the United States and Russia and many. The announcement made at the International Radar Symposium Friday afternoon, the discovery specifically was an analysis that indicated beyond a reasonable doubt that there were compounds composed of carbon. That is interesting. Carbon compounds, of course, decaying, indicate that there was once living matter, now dead, on the surface of the moon. And it's not a large leap from there. If something we don't know about died on the moon, then there might be something alive up there as well. Well, I think that's hogwash. What I think is that, yes, they've probably discovered decaying carbon something. And that certainly is interesting. But, you know, I think most people agree or believe that the moon, our moon, was carved from the Earth like that at the beginning of everything, shortly after the Big Bang. The Earth came into the path of something big, and there was a big boom, and the moon separated from Earth, right? Well, prior to that separation, there probably were carbon forms of, who knows, plant life, animal life, early animal life, whatever. And I think it's indeed a leap to suppose that there's life on the moon. I mean, what kind of life? There's no atmosphere. It's either real cold or real hot. It's not hospitable to any kind of life that we could imagine. What I do imagine, again, is that the moon was once part of Earth. And so I think that's where it came from. But, you know, it makes a good story. All right, listen, coming up in a moment, after the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with the GIS. That's the Ghost Investigators Society. Ghost Investigation Society. Brendan Cook and Barbara McBeth are both members of the Ghost Investigators Society, GIS. The Ghost Investigators Society is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the investigation of ghosts. Now, not only do they conduct investigations, but also instruct, assist, and educate anyone who believes that they may be experiencing ghostly phenomena, or, you know, just some of you who are simply curious. In an effort to educate the public about ghosts, the GIS hopes the EVPs, the electronic voice phenomena presented, will help demonstrate that the consciousness, our consciousness, does survive after the body dies, and that these voices may help to give something of a different perspective about life, death, and ghosts. Now, personally, I hope that ghosts really exist. We can sit here all night long and take ghost stories. I'm not going to do that, although I'm sure we'll get some later. But I personally really hope that ghosts do exist. Now, if they don't, that doesn't mean there is not an afterlife. But if ghosts do exist, that does mean there's an afterlife. And that's pretty serious business in a lot of ways for those of us who are looking forward to something of an afterlife, if you will. I know I certainly am getting close to it every day, closer to it every day, as are we all. So I hope there's an afterlife. And the existence of ghosts would prove that. So it's a very important topic. And of all the things that we could do, as in taking ghost stories, I think that EVP, electronic voice phenomena, the ability of people to... And it's not just my guests tonight that have done this sort of thing. It's people all over the world. Just average people like yourself. It doesn't take, it's not a big deal. All you do is get a recorder, go to an appropriate location, do some recording. And I'm telling you, I have had hundreds and hundreds of emails from people who have done it. And after tonight, more of you will do it. You'll go out and give it a try yourself, and you will get these voices. These folks haven't written a book. They don't ask for money. They're a nonprofit organization. Let me tell you, of all the guests I have on that talk about ghosts, I think these are the most credible of them all. There's no doubt about it. They are the most credible. So if ghosts exist, your idea or your ability to believe in that, to grasp it, will be underscored tonight if you listen carefully. And I hope you do. A lot of people say, I don't believe that. Stick around. Listen carefully and you may believe. It is. And by the way, last week we were in Guam, the island of Guam once again, which technically, as you know, is not technically, it is the United States and about only a 3-hour flight from here. So yes, Norman, in Arizona, we were in Guam once again. Nice to set foot on U.S. territory. There's one other note here, and that is, Art, are you set up to receive Fast Blast tonight? Yes, of course. I'm really set up here. I can answer phones, hang up, whatever it is that I can do from there, I can do from here. It's really amazing. To be able to do a long-form talk show from the other side of the world is, maybe I'm showing my age. I don't think so, because nobody else has ever done this, to the best of my knowledge, a regularly scheduled long-form talk show, 4 hours, from the other side of the world of most of the listeners. It's astounding, simply astounding to me. And I don't astound easily. Tomorrow night, Ian Punnett is going to be filling in for, he's not filling in for anybody. He's just tomorrow night. So, Ian Punnett, hi there, buddy. What do you got online for tomorrow night?
Hey, Art, of all the many things you've done in all of these many years, have you ever written a novel?
No, and I'm sorely tempted, Ian.
I'd be curious to see what you came up with. I mean, I know that many of your books have been novelized, right, in a way in which they've been used in movies and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and by the way, did you see 2012 yet?
I did. It appeared, 2012, we're kind of with it here. We have digital theaters, and it debuted here the same day as there.
Right, but I mean, did you see, it's sort of an homage to you a little bit, I think, in there. A little bit of the Woody Harrelson character, a little bit. I love the idea of that late night talk show host driving the storyline.
Yeah. It's the same guy who did The Day After Tomorrow.
Right. Oh, I tell you, right. I wondered whether he had even sent you a note about that. Because tomorrow night, Jim Mars is going to be on, and he's written his first novel called The Sisterhood of the Rose. And so Jim takes a lot of his research that he has been putting together for years in various nonfiction works, and he's assembled a cast of fictional characters to help tell the story of something which he believes could have happened. It may still be influencing us today.
That should be a good program. Novels are interesting, Ian, and I guess I would have to technically say yes. I mean, they were novelized. It's kind of protection for people when you're writing about something you think is going to happen, but you're not sure. So,
well, I'd like to see what you come up with. You're still a young man. It'd be interesting to see if you actually sat down to write one. Would it be science fiction, do you think?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Very good.
No
out into the outer reaches of the universe?
Actually, I've got to. I don't want to talk about it, Ian. It's in my mind.
Okay.
You know how books are. It's in my mind, and I before I do it, I don't want to talk about what it would be.
Well, we'll book the interview 2 years from now when you get it done and published. Okay.
All right, Ian. Look forward to Jim Mars tomorrow night with Ian Punnett. All right, that sounds good. That sounds interesting. Yeah, I'd love to write a novel. Why not? It's been there in my mind now for quite a while. That's the way books are. They kind of brew inside you until you get ready and then you start. All right, in a moment, Barbara Macbeth, Brendan Cook, and the Ghost Investigators Society. All right, let me read a little bit from the GIS website. It says the society is comprised of 5 individuals who have come together due to a common interest, ghosts. every member has an equal standing in the society. There's no one of higher status than any other. I don't think they have a secret handshake. Some members may have more knowledge or have had more experiences on the subject, but all members have equal status. There's a coordinator to notify members of meetings, events, and investigations, and on occasion there will be a spokesperson when needed, but there is no founder, no president, or any other such titled person. Even though we enjoy what we do and we have fun when conducting any investigation, we're also very serious about what we do. Our equipment consists, listen carefully, of cameras, tape recorders, sound meters, motion detectors, infrared, other such devices that help us find the spirits of the dead that dwell among us. While we realize that some members are more, in quote, sensitive than others at feeling or sensing a ghostly presence, we don't use psychics, nor do we encourage anyone who claims to be psychic to attend any of our investigations. Anyone can claim to be a psychic, doesn't prove anything. We do not indulge in satanic rituals or witchcraft. It has nothing to do with ghosts. We do not perform seances or use Ouija boards. We discourage both and recommend to those of you who may indulge in this activity to discontinue the practice right away. The entities who may come to you during these circumstances are not the same as those who remain as a ghost. A ghost is normally linked to a place, and most ghosts seem to have a reason for remaining in this realm. Don't confuse the two, because they're very different. Some of our members have been conducting investigations and looking for ghosts for years. Other members have recently joined us and are just learning how to conduct themselves while on an investigation. Our society's very involved with each other as members, and we teach and help one another as a society. We not only conduct investigations, but also instruct, assist, and educate anyone who believes that they may be experiencing ghostly phenomena, or those who are just simply curious. Sometimes we find that a ghost is not responsible for what we thought was some sort of ghostly activity. The general public has a misconception about ghosts. Most also have a preconceived notion of how a ghost is supposed to look. Most people are usually wrong about both. As members of GIS, we hope to help anyone who cares to learn and expand their minds in understanding. We also try to help ease the fears toward the ghosts who have chosen to stay and coexist among us. That's interesting. Chosen to stay. Chosen to stay. Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth, welcome back to Coast to Coast AM.
Hello, Art. Good morning, Art.
Good morning. It is the two of you, right?
Yes.
It's been a long time. I hear that you guys have been, like, making babies, procreating.
Some of us have. Some of us are too old.
Yeah, I also heard that this is going to be a little scary tonight.
Yeah, you know, especially towards the end, some people that we have played these voices for, they were a little unnerved by it. So I can't wait for people to hear it and see how they take these voices.
Okay. I read that little preamble because I thought it would help. I mean, you guys are nonprofit.
Absolutely.
You don't write books, though I'm sure you will one day. You don't solicit money. I mean, there's just nothing about you that says fraud.
No, and you know, we have no reason whatsoever to defraud anybody. I mean, we have spent years and years doing this. I think this is our 10th year doing shows with you. And
yeah, I think it is.
I mean, we have never in that time taken 1 cent for anything we've done. And we've had offers, especially through your program, from publishers, advertisements for our site, that kind of thing. And
yeah,
we've always turned them down.
Yeah, I bet you have. And that's what, you know, over the years has impressed me so. You just have no reason to do this other than your 15 minutes of fame, but you've had that long ago. So, there's... I guess of all the shows that I do, EVP is the most convincing, maybe the scariest for a lot of reasons. In the preamble, I read that, I'm not sure who wrote this, you can tell me, that the ghosts or spirits choose choose to remain here. Is that right?
I believe that many of them do. For whatever reason, they stay. I think family grieving can cause ghosts to stay and not go on to where they should go. Concern for family and loved ones can cause them to stay.
Okay. So that does imply directly that you have a choice. When you die, if there's some reason you want to stick around, you can do it.
I personally believe that. I believe that we have choices in life, and we also have choices in death.
Have you come to any conclusions, either one of you, about of those who choose to stay? What is life? Life. What is the other side, or this medium area that's in between? What's it like for them? Can they see us anytime they want? Do they see everything around them, though we can't see them?
You know, it's really hard to explain. I do believe in a lot of cases they are aware of us. And this goes into the EVP that we'll be playing. You can hear where they're actually interacting with us. Whether it's questions that we're asking them or just even interactions that us as a group are having by ourselves that don't even involve ghost investigating. They will join in just as if they were part of the conversation with us.
And another thing, too, in our physical bodies, we are so, it is hard to imagine not having limitations that we do physically. If you consider yourself just a mental being without the physical limitations that we have,
mm-hmm.
Your capabilities and your senses, I think, are completely different.
Well, we all want to know what it's like, I guess, after you die. And one thing I've noticed is, of the EVPs that we play, if the person was old when they died, it's an old voice. If the person was female, it's a female voice. If the person was a child, God help them, there are so many of those, it's worrisome, then you get a child's voice. So the implication is that you are on the other side or in that middle area, what you were when you died here.
Exactly. And
but, you know, I've got to bring up, there have been documented cases where a person that has died has been witnessed by many different people in different stages of that person's life.
Hmm.
And so it makes me, you know, it could be a, you know, how they want to project themselves, I don't know. But I know that there have been cases where a deceased person has been witnessed in different stages of their life, young and old. So
the two of you, you've been doing this a long time. There's more than two of you, but you two have been doing it a long time. Are you, has it relieved your concern of death? Fear
mine, of death? I've never had a concern about death. I kind of, the older I get, I'm looking forward to it. I'm concerned about my loved ones, you know, but I don't have a concern about death.
Wait a minute. You said you're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'll be glad to get out of this world.
What?
I don't like I mean, you know, I don't like what I see going on, and I'll be glad to get out of it.
Looking forward to it. How about you, Brendan? Looking forward to it?
No, I can't say I'm looking forward to it. I can say doing this, it's raised a lot more questions than it has answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's constantly been driving me to research it more and more. Each EVP we get makes me want to ask more questions and do it more than we have been. And ultimately, you know, I really don't know what I'm looking for. I don't know what that one thing is going to be that makes me go, okay, I've got it all now. I can just stop. I mean, I think I'll be doing this until, like Barbara said, I mean, until I die.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's get to it. Now they're going to be playing these from the main studio in California, and so hopefully it'll work out well. And I'll just try and give good cues. But tell me what we're about to hear and where you got it. I mean, that's very important, isn't it? The where.
Oh yeah, yeah. The where. You know, how the place looks, the history of the place, and also, I mean, the context of what was happening at the time the voice was recorded. I did hear at the beginning of the show you talking about anybody can do this. You can spend as much or as little money on it as you want. And that's ultimately why we've been doing this as long as we have, to show people, if you don't believe it, just try it. I mean, it's not going to hurt you. Everybody has something in their house that can record some kind of sound.
Sure.
So it's not going to hurt you to just start recording and ask questions.
Look, I've had hundreds of emails, thousands of people that after hearing one of these programs have gone out with a recorder, you know, and great doubts, but interested, and they come back and they get something. And they write me and say, wow, Art, you were right. So there's something to all this, no question about it. All right, tell me where you go. And here's one more thing. This first one comes from a cemetery, right?
Right, and actually that's why I brought up my previous point. The first nine or ten voices are actually voices that have been sent in to us over the years from people who have heard us on your show mostly and went out and did it themselves.
Oh, that's cool.
And now what's really neat is we over the years how many children's voices that we've played. I mean, there are quite a few. Now, this first voice was recorded by a lady named Anna. And you're going to hear a man say, I got this EVP at Sun Prairie, Wisconsin Cemetery. Or no, excuse me, he doesn't say that. That's where he actually recorded this. It's in Wisconsin, Old Rural Cemetery. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear a man, and this is the investigator, say, if there's any children here, please speak loud and clear so that I may understand you. You're going to hear him kind of walking. Then you're going to hear him say, I will be exiting your gravesite. And after that, you're going to hear a child say, and this is the EVP, say, Mama doesn't want you here.
Oh, God. All right. Then all I'm going to do when I want it is say, cut one. So,
if there's any children here, please speak loud and clear so that I may understand you. I will be exiting your gravesite.
Oh, my God. I will be exiting your gravesite. Now, that's from the person who took the EVP, but then you hear the EVP saying, Mama doesn't want you here. Oh, my God, the children. All right, one more time. Let's do cut one.
If there's any children here, please speak loud and clear so that I may understand you. I will be exiting your gravesite.
Do you do any investigation? For example, that child's voice saying, Mama doesn't want you here. Assuming Mama was... Was it the child's gravesite or Mama's gravesite?
You know, according to the email that we got when this was sent in to us, it was actually a children's area of the cemetery. That's why he's saying, if there's any children here, would you please speak loud and clear so I may understand you?
Uh-huh.
Now, another point, I don't hear the word Mama, and many times we don't agree on what's being... the EVP, what it is saying. And
right.
This is on, I hear a name, I hear Alonzo doesn't want you here.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry back there. I need cut one one more time, please. I want to see what I hear. Cut one. Okay, hang on.
If there's any children here, please speak loud and clear so that I may understand you. I will be exiting your gravesite.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I agree. It could be either one. It really could be either one. So I'll certainly go with that. All right, well, we're already at a break point here, so that's exactly what we're going to do is break. The GIS is with us. It's all about ghosts tonight. The voices of ghosts. I'm Art Bell. A new religion that'll bring you to your knees. Well, maybe. I mean, if you buy this, and I think I do, I've bought it for years because I can't find any holes in it, then it might be like a new religion, and it certainly might, either way, it might bring you to your knees. Just keep listening. I'm Art Bell. Barbara Macbeth, Brendan Cook, the Ghost Investigators Society are my guests, and they will be right back. All right, we're going to begin moving through these a little more quickly at this point. These are actual recordings of voices from, I don't know if I want to say the other side, but certainly another side. Barbara Macbeth and Brendan Cook, again, you two, you think that this is clearly all the way, you don't think it's clearly all the way over to what we think of as the other side or heaven or something like that. These are instead spirits who remain in some sort of, is purgatory an appropriate term?
I think it's close enough, yeah. Yeah, it's a limbo, some kind of medium place between where, wherever they should be or I guess shouldn't be. As Barbara said, I do think that they probably choose to be here, and they make the choice to go on whenever they feel that they need to.
I don't think that the two worlds are very far apart. There's too many people that have experiences with the ghost phenomena to say that it's worlds apart. I think they're very close. They intermingle with each other sometimes.
You mean our world and where they are?
Yes.
As opposed to where they are and where they would probably rather be?
Yes.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You said they had a choice, so I guess they're happy where they are. Although, certainly...
happy ghosts.
Yeah, and a lot not so happy, too. That's a worrisome part for me. All right, number two. Where?
Okay, this one that was sent to us was recorded at the site of a car accident that had taken place, they said, about 3 weeks prior to this recording. And you're going to hear a woman say, "Hey, did you just stop and then go on and then go again?" And then you're going to hear a man say, "What's wrong?" And this was recorded by Lacey.
Okay, and sent to you. So here we go. Cut two.
"Hey, did you just stop and go again?"
Okay, that's very easy to hear, but it sounded like he was whispering, "What's wrong?"
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
And we record a lot of voices that are whispery. That's very common.
Any idea why?
No, I almost wonder if it takes so much energy for them to produce a voice. And again, this goes back to what we've been trying to figure out all this time we've been doing this. How do they do this? I mean, how are they putting these voices on tapes or recorders or however it's getting recorded? You know, how do they do it?
Without the voice box, you know?
Right, because we're not audibly hearing these at the time. These just show up on the recording. We go back home after an investigation, listen to the recording at our house, and hey, there's a voice that wasn't there.
You would think, though, that if it takes energy, if they're straining to really get that voice across, they'd be going, "What's wrong?" Not, "What's wrong?"
Right.
That they'd be pushing hard. But what do we know about where they are? Nothing, huh?
Right.
Okay. All right. Number three.
All right. Now, this was sent to us anonymously. The lady didn't want her name used. It was recorded in the private residence. Basically, just the little background behind it. The lady believed that her house was haunted. She had heard us before and decided she was just going to do what we tell people to do and ask if there's anybody there. So you're going to hear the woman doing the investigation say, anybody want to talk to us? And then an EVP of a woman that sounds like she says, love me.
Okay, let's listen very closely to cut three.
Anybody want to talk to us?
Wow. You know, the way, now I'm just interjecting my own thought in this. I hear love me very clearly, but it sounds more lustful than it does affectionate seeking. Anybody concur with that?
Oh, I do, definitely. That's definitely how I took it. It wasn't so much, you know, when I read initially this woman's email, and I saw the context of what she said and then what the EVP supposedly said, and she had mentioned that her grandmother had passed on just recently. Mm-hmm. You know, I assumed, well, maybe it's her grandmother, until I listened to the clip, and then listening to it, I said, no, that doesn't sound like a family member kind of love me.
It doesn't sound like grandma.
Yeah.
Let's listen again. So once again, listen for the lustful aspect of this. Cut three.
Anybody want to talk to us?
maybe there still is some sort of... Let me ask you, in previous cuts, all the ones you've done in the past, is there any indication that there is still the, what's the right word? I don't know, still the sensation of sexuality on the other side?
Not well, that I can recall.
Yeah, that's an odd one, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything that we've recorded that would suggest that, but at the same time, we have recorded things where it seems like the person on the other side is expressing a want for something that's physical. We recorded a voice in a prison saying, I want a cigarette. I mean, things that, you know, you wouldn't need on the other side. It's almost like they're carrying physical desires over to the other side, even though they can't do anything about it.
My God, I hope nicotine doesn't follow you to the end. I've had enough trouble on this side with it. Okay, all right, number four. And again, folks, this particular series was recorded by all of you out there. The first how many?
First 10, I believe.
The first 10. How cool is that? All right, so these came from all of you. That really is cool. All right, number four, tell me about it.
Okay, a lady was preparing a video recording for her husband that was overseas, her and her daughter. And you're going to hear the woman, he's in the military, and you're going to hear the woman say to her daughter, say goodbye, and the daughter says, nope. And you'll hear what sounds like a child say, Kristen, want your mommy and daddy. And then a creepy man's voice says, say goodbye.
Ooh.
And this was on a video. She heard these voices after she reviewed the video.
Yeah, she was completely caught off guard. I mean, she wasn't trying to record EVP. It was just completely accidental.
Well, I imagine that happens quite a bit.
Yes, it does.
Although I think probably most times people dismiss it and don't think of it as an EVP, just extraneous something or another. All right, cut four.
Say goodbye. No?
I don't hear the say part. I hear goodbye. I don't hear the man saying say goodbye. And maybe I'm just not listening carefully enough. So as usual, we'll do it one more time. Cut four, one more time, please.
Say goodbye.
Mommy, daddy. I don't even know if I hear goodbye. I'm not sure what I hear there. But it doesn't sound pleasant.
No, not at all. And again, I don't know if we mentioned this already tonight, but EVP, I mean, it is extremely subjective in that, you know, obviously we're telling you what we think the voice is going to say. And so your brain is obviously going to listen for that.
Right.
And it could be even my fault for, you know, I'm taking her saying the woman that recorded this say goodbye. And then I hear that man and I'm thinking he says say goodbye.
And but either, that's okay either way. That you don't hear the same thing, because I disagree with a lot that others hear.
So what do you guys do? You usually simply come to some sort of consensus on what was said, or the most votes is what gets put down?
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much what we do. I mean, ultimately, it is the fact that there's a voice that should not be there, and especially in the cases of the children's voices.
Right.
You know, we've mentioned this how many times, I don't know. It's in our protocol on our website. No one under 18 is allowed to go with us on investigation. And a lot of these children's voices are very, very young. I mean, 4-5-year-old kids. It's the fact that that voice is there.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times when five of us hear five different things, yeah. You know.
It's just, you know, a lot of this is very, very troubling, and the children's voices are probably, of course, the most troubling of all.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this next one, where from?
Okay, actually, these next two were recorded by the Colorado Springs Paranormal Association.
Oh.
And they're quite good. This first one was recorded by one of their members named Paulina, and it was recorded in a bed and breakfast in a room called the Red Crag Room. And in this room, apparently before it was a bed and breakfast, there was an old lady that used to live there. And she was just kind of a shut-in in this room. And you're going to hear the investigator, Paulina, say, "Are you ready to go to bed? Are you tired? Are you tired of talking to us?" And, of course, she's addressing whatever ghost might be there. And then you're going to hear what sounds like an old lady. The group that recorded this thinks that the lady says, "Leave all of you." I hear, "I'm feeling real tired."
And I don't hear that.
All right, let's see what all of us hear. Cut five.
Are you ready to go to bed? Are you tired? Tired of talking to us?
All of you.
Well, it may be the power of suggestion, but I can hear something about I feel real tired or something close to that. And it doesn't sound like a happy voice either.
No. No, it sounds like she's very strained almost.
Yeah. You know, the other side is supposed to be, you know, I mean, the classic, you're supposed to be happy. I mean, it's supposed to be paradise or something close to it. But again, we're probably talking about this middle area that hopefully is not what the other side is all about. I mean, the real other side. We'll do cut five one more time, see what you all hear. Listen carefully.
Are you ready to go to bed? Are you tired? Tired of talking to us?
That sounds so troubled. It sounds so troubled.
Like she's tired or something. I mean, just.
Well, again, you can't help but leap to some conclusions about the other side. Now, if you're in spirit form, you ought not be all that tired and probably don't sleep a lot because you're not in physical form anymore. So I don't.
They're troubling, just, aren't they?
Yeah, it's troubling. It really is troubling. Number six, where is this from?
This is in the same bed and breakfast. And one of their members, Charles, asks, "Can you move the door?" And this voice that they recorded said, "That's enough, Charles."
Okay. Six.
Can you move the door?
That's enough, Charles.
whispery.
Yeah, and again, with the whispers, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. And it is pretty clear. That's enough, Charles. But it doesn't seem responsive, does it? Can you move the door? That's enough, Charles. What does that's enough, Charles, have to do with moving the door?
Well, and I actually asked the lady that submitted these to us from this organization, you know, what was going on prior to this. And apparently that door had been known to move by itself, and they were doing a little bit of what they call provoking the ghost. That's something that we don't do, but they were provoking, trying to make it do something. We kind of view it, it's kind of like a circus act, you know. Nobody's going to really respond to that. At least we don't think so.
Why do you not provoke ghosts?
The main reason is because, I guess it's the way we look at it. We look at these things that we're recording as people. They're not entertainment. They're not, you know, a circus act. They're people that lived, they had families, and they died, and for whatever reason, they're here. So we look at it more as like a personal level, and we try and talk to them, ask them their names, you know, what is it like where you're at? Are you happy where you're at? Things like that.
Mm-hmm. Try to show respect.
Have you ever had a voice that you suspect came from fully on the other side, or just from this mid area that we talk of?
No, I don't think so. I don't think if they're fully on the other side, I personally don't believe that you could record that. I think it is just them being where they're at now, you know, this middle ground,
right,
where we're able to record these voices. I think once they do go to that other side, there's just no way of recording them. They're there and that's it.
Do you have any indication that any voice you've ever recorded has proceeded to the other side?
No.
Well,
I don't.
You know, the one thing I can think of is, and it's a voice we played on your show years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were in a cemetery, and we were just doing our normal thing, asking if anybody's there. And we recorded this really old woman. She just sounded upset and sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't. Barbara had asked something. I can't remember what it was. And then all of a sudden, this old woman just says, "I'm completely dead." And it was just like almost the self-realization that she had had. And we had recorded her voice before. And once we recorded that "I'm completely dead," we never heard from her again. And it's almost like she just suddenly realized they're looking for me when they're out here asking for people to talk to.
All right, one example, sort of, maybe. Can we fit one in? Yeah, I think we can. We'll try. Number 7.
Okay, now this was recorded by a man named Dan from Great Plains Paranormal Research Society. And it was a rural cemetery in Omaha. And you're going to hear a woman, the investigator, say, "Want to talk to us straight?" And then a child say, "Please talk to us."
Cut 7.
"Wants to talk to us straight?"
Mm-hmm. Clearly a child, and clearly saying, "Please talk to us." One more time, cut 7.
"Wants to talk to us, please."
So that would indicate that the child wants to communicate, I guess, with the person who says the first thing, "Talk to us straight." That child wants to talk to this side, yes?
Correct. Yes. Definitely. And, you know, I wonder, and we've recorded voices that actually show this, almost a sense of frustration in the voice because they're talking in the EVP, but obviously we don't hear them at the time that we're recording.
Right.
And then you hear them again, and they just kind of seem frustrated that you don't hear them.
All right. right. You two were at a break point, so hold on. Listen, I realize that once you're sitting down in a slightly darkened room and you're listening to this sort of stuff, it can really scare the hell out of you. So I don't think I'd recommend this for children. And frankly, some adults as well. I'm Art Bell. Good afternoon. It is afternoon here in the Philippines from Manila. I'm Art Bell, filling in for George Noy, taking the night off, and it's great to be here. This is a very difficult subject. These are electronic voice phenomena cuts. They're cuts from, I don't know, some middle area before heaven or hell, I suppose. It's troubling, it's scary, and, you know, I'm getting some fast blasts that indicate I'm not going to listen. Barry in Vancouver, B.C., says we refuse to listen. It's kind of the stuff is not for anyone. Well, this is the kind of stuff we do, and it is not for everyone. And so, fair warning, they're going to get even scarier as the night progresses. So, you know, use good judgment. If you have a child present who's troubled by this sort of thing, don't let them listen. It's that simple. They will get more troubling as the night progresses. Okay, I've got email. If you'd like to email me, I'm Art Bell, ArtBell, at mindspring.com. ArtBell at mindspring, mindspring.com. More GIS in a moment. You too understand, I presume, that there are people out there who feel listening to this sort of thing is not healthy, not good for you, and beyond scary, just plain not healthy to listen to. How do you react to that?
Well, their fear makes them feel like that. I've had so many people, I could write a book on how many people have said, I don't believe in this stuff, but let me tell you what's happened to me.
Mm.
It fear is I can understand people's fear about it.
Well, and ultimately it comes down to human nature. I mean, it's the fear of the unknown, because that's what this is. It's unknown. We've been doing it for years, and it's unknown to us. So for anybody else who's never done it or never even experienced listening to it, I can imagine how fearful they might be of it.
Are you pretty sure that listening to this might not open any personal doors that ought not be opened?
I think Barbara and I kind of differ on that. I don't think so.
No, no. I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. I don't believe even talking about it makes things happen. No, I don't believe that.
No, huh? You don't recommend the use of Ouija boards and that sort of thing, right?
No, I don't. I believe that those are different entities.
Different entities. But a Ouija board is nothing more than a, you know, it's just a cardboard.
You're inviting something in.
You're inviting something in. But as you, how does that differ, if you see where I'm going, from listening to these?
That's definitely a big difference. Barbara and I differ, because I look at it as, you know, a Ouija board is really, I mean, I don't recommend people use it. I mean, if they want, they can. Barbara is dead set against it. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think there's anything to it. You're playing with a piece of wood.
You're not playing with a piece of wood.
Okay.
It's promoted as a game, and it's not a game.
Mm. Well, you know, it is in one sense just a piece of wood, but when you sit down and play with a Ouija board, you are, in fact, inviting entities in. If they exist,
you're
inviting them in.
That's right. When
you listen to this kind of thing, how is that different from a Ouija board?
A ghost is a person who has lived and has had a body. They are haunting that location where you recorded their voice.
Okay. And you
they are already there.
And you think the entities that might come through with the use of a Ouija board never lived?
I believe that, yes.
Yeah, that is a difference. All right, good. All right, number eight. Tell me about number eight.
This was sent to us by the Historic Ghost Watch. And Ed says, you're going to hear one of the team members say what quite abruptly And then this ghost man says, talk to me longer.
Talk to me longer. All right, cut eight.
What?
Talk to me longer. It's quite clear. Talk to me longer. We'll do it one way. I try to do each of these twice because I know people are listening very, very carefully. So here is number eight again. Please listen.
What?
I can't tell if that's a male or female.
Yeah, I can't either, really. I mean, it sounds like it could be either one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is interesting. I see the next one coming up was recorded from somebody's answering machine.
Yeah. This is, and it goes with a book that was written, I'd say 25, 30 years ago.
Longer than that. It was longer.
Was it? Mm-hmm. Okay. It was called Phone Calls from the Dead. And it went along with the same kind of EVP premise that, you know, loved ones that passed on would call loved ones still living.
Trying to communicate.
And this clip was sent to us. The man had said that there was no phone call that came in. Their answering machine just suddenly started recording. And you're going to hear on this clip the answering machine saying message four, and then this kind of breathing noise. And then a man just says, they're coming home.
Okay. All right. Cut nine.
Hello.
They're coming home.
Wednesday, 8:12 a.m.
They're coming home. They're coming home.
Oh, my God. See, if I found that on my answering machine, I would be...
You'd probably move.
Yeah, I'd be real upset. At the very least, I'd have my number changed. Not that one would imagine that might cure it, but they're coming home. Okay, that was clear enough. They're coming home. Any idea what that might mean? No, of course not, right?
No. I mean, had we been the ones that recorded that, maybe, but... You know, the guy didn't provide a whole lot of context behind the voice. He didn't have any idea why it would even show up. He didn't recognize the voice, anything.
I understand. All right, cut nine one more time.
It's
four.
They're coming home.
Wednesday, 8:12 a.m.
They're coming home.
Yeah, very clear. You know, in a lot of movies made about EVP, of course, the EVP for the purpose of a movie is never sufficient. And inevitably in the movies, the EVP turns into something much more tangible very quickly. And they're hopping out of phones or computers or something like that and causing great discontent and trouble. Have you ever had any brush with anything that is like that?
No, I haven't at all. The closest, and this maybe goes back to what you brought up earlier about opening doors or something like that.
Right.
We do believe that we have had things follow us home from doing what we've done. And, you know, I mean, I've lived in a house that was never haunted. And I did one investigation, and for a couple of weeks after that investigation, things started happening in my home. And then it just moved on, and that was the end of it.
Yep. How was that?
Is, though, they were kind of transient, probably, in life. curious, wanted to know, you know.
What kind of things started to happen during that couple of weeks?
Actually, my wife was downstairs doing laundry. She was putting some clothes in the dryer. And she did that, came upstairs, and we were both sitting in the living room, and all of a sudden we heard the dryer stop. Walked downstairs. Sure enough, the dryer door was open. So we shut it and turned it back on, came back upstairs. Dryer stopped again. Then we heard the door to the dryer slam before we could get back downstairs.
Oh.
things like that. We had things moving around, you know, places that we had left them. They weren't there anymore. And then they'd show up in the exact same spot a little bit later.
Right.
I mean, just, you know, your average, well, I don't want to say average, but it is your average haunting
stuff. That's kind of typical of haunting things.
I think
every one of us have had experiences, you know, something coming home with us.
You too, Barbara?
Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't last long, and it just goes with the territory, probably.
Uh-huh. That's going to discourage a lot of people right there. I mean, going out and getting a voice, maybe.
Well, that's something that people need to be aware of, that it can happen.
And we also need to mention Barbara doesn't mind it. She actually wouldn't mind them being there.
No, I don't mind, you know. But, you know, a lot of people do. They don't want living with them. You know, my husband is that way. He gets upset when something follows us home. He doesn't like it.
Yeah, I understand your husband's point of view. And how do you comfort him when he gets perhaps upset at the fact that something has followed you home, Barbara?
You know, he'll tell them to leave, that they weren't invited there, and to get out, and usually that will work.
Okay, so...
You know, if you're living in a location that already has activity, that's
different
a different story.
Yeah, sure, they're already there. I understand completely, but... Gosh, getting followed home and then, you know, stuff happening. Okay, number 10.
All right, this one was, this is the last one that we're using that was sent in to us, and it was recorded at an old Civil War battleground in West Tennessee, and it was recorded at a site where cabins and tents housing wounded soldiers after a battle had been set on fire, killing most of the soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And the man at this location, you'll hear him say, "Can you give us a sign? Can you stand by this camera?" And then the EVP says, "Why? Because the bullet's in it?"
Oh, all right. Cut 10.
"Can you give us a sign? Can you stand by this camera? Why? Why?
Again, it's supposed to be saying why, because the bullet's in it. I don't know if I hear that, but I'm going to listen again. What we're listening for is why, because the bullet's in it. So cut 10 again.
"Can you really for five? Can you fly by this camera? Why?
Oh, yeah.
Why? Why?
Now, see, the minute I really start listening for what you suggest is there, I do hear it. So I sometimes wonder if I'm just, you know, the victim of suggestion or I'm really hearing that. But
now, these things that the people sent to us is what they say that they hear.
Okay. All right. What did you hear in that one?
Now, see, with me, I do hear why, because of the bullets in it. And, you know, I guess it would kind of make sense, being that it was in an old Civil War battleground.
Right.
And assuming this was the voice of a dead soldier, and the guy is saying, you know, "Can you stand next to this camera?" That soldier may have never seen a camera before. And
good
he
point.
May have just assumed there could be bullets in it.
You know, some kind of gun. See, but that also indicates that he's been around for what we would consider to be a long time in this middle area, since the Civil War.
And see, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that is one of the questions, especially recently, that I've been asking, is do you have a concept of time? I mean, is there, because that's something I'm really interested in, you know, is that something that's man-made over here and just affects us? Or do they over there have some kind of concept of time? Do they know how long they've been dead? Or does it even matter?
Gosh, I hope not. I hope that if you can be in this middle territory eternally, for example, that you would have no concept of time. Otherwise, you'd be truly going out of your mind. All right, now we're going to shift gears a little bit. And in the successive recordings you're going to hear, these were done by all of you, correct? The GIS?
Yep. Yes,
that's correct. Yeah, this is the rest of the tracks have been recorded over, well, I guess the last 2 years since we did a show with you. So,
okay, it's it's been a while.
Yeah, it's all new stuff that we have not played yet.
Okay. And again, you know, we're going to start out here in a cemetery. And while you guys seem to say on the one hand, hey, you know, you don't need to go to places like cemeteries, you guys keep going back to cemeteries.
We do. And the reason we do, I mean, yeah, you don't have to go to a cemetery. But every county, every state has their local haunted cemetery. You know, whether it's high school kids saying, well, if you drive around the statue so many times, it turns its head and looks at you, or if you flash your lights, you see whatever it might be. I mean, there could be some truth to what's going on there. I'm not saying a statue is going to follow you or anything, but, you know, I mean, there's some kind of legend behind the cemetery. So if we get enough calls from people saying you need to check out the cemetery, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found over the years places associated with the dead most likely will have some kind of activity.
Indicating that the spirits remain near what used to be their physical bodies. Troubling.
Not necessarily, that's why, but...
Well, and my theory on that is I think it's also emotion. You know, think about how much emotion is at a cemetery. Loved ones keep coming back to the grave, crying, thinking about their loved one. Loved one may come back just to see, you know, I mean, their family members are going to be going back to the cemetery, so maybe they come back to see if their family's there.
That's a positive thought, I guess. I worry that they just remain near what used to be their physical bodies. To what end? Anyway, here it comes. Cut 11.
Okay, yeah, on this one.
Oh, my God. That was not just a child, but that was a very, very, very small. That was a baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and believe me, I really do not like that one.
I don't like that one
either. I mean, there was no talking. I mean, I think Brendan had set his recorder down in that cemetery, and we were walking around. We weren't even talking there.
Yeah, I said that.
And we had to add for the audience, that was not looped. In other words, most of them we play three times or something, right? That was just straight stuff.
There was no reason to loop that one. That's evident of what it was.
And you're absolutely certain there were no women carrying children around or something like that?
Art, no, this was probably like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, we're going to do cut 11 again. And again, folks, this is not loop. This is just straight stuff recorded in a cemetery late at night. Yeah, you can hear the wind. All right, cut 11 again, please. That's really scary. There was kind of an eerie sound associated not just with this one, but with many of them. What gives it that eerie sound? Can you comment on that?
You know, I'm really not sure. There's sometimes when you hear it, especially when I've heard it from other people sending us stuff, it's actually a product of doing a hiss reduction. This one was not, it didn't have a hiss reduction done, otherwise you wouldn't have heard the wind like you did and all that. As far as, and I do know the sound you're talking about, I'm not sure what causes that. But, I mean, there's times we've heard it right before the EVP comes in. It sounds completely normal up until maybe 2-3 seconds before an EVP comes in, and then all of a sudden you hear it.
The only positive thing I can say about that last cut is it sounded like the child might have been happy. I mean, it was almost a giggle, right?
It
that's good if you hear that.
Yeah, I can hear it both ways.
You don't hear it.
You don't hear that, right?
I don't hear that.
You hear just crying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Well, either way, that's terribly troubling. All right, you two hold tight. We're at another break point. The GIS is here, and these are going to get more and more troubling as the evening progresses. These are recordings from another side out there somewhere. From Manila in the Philippines in Southeast Asia, I'm Art Bell. We'll be right back. Good morning, or whatever time of day it is, wherever you are. We're doing electronic voice phenomena with the GIS. They've been guests with me for years now, and Ramona, as you know, was Catholic, and she wouldn't listen to these. And interestingly, during the break, I was talking to Erin, and she's also very Catholic, and she said, after about the second or third one, she turned it off. It's troubling. Gave her goosebumps. Didn't want to hear it. Doesn't want to hear it. Thinks that... thinks all of this is probably not good. And maybe it isn't. I don't know. I mean, this is the kind of thing that we investigate. It's what we do. But I really do understand that these are very troubling. And again, with what's coming up in this, I don't know, final segment, however many more we've got, they're even more troubling. So use your own discretion, please, particularly if there are children around. This kind of thing really can be troubling. Because it's real. So, in a moment, the GIS will be right back. Once again, Barbara Macbeth and Brendan Cook, two members out of five, I guess, now, of the GIS. Actually, I don't know how many, or that might have been dated information. Still five members?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Same five.
Got a secret handshake?
No, but you know, by now, we probably should.
I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but what does it take to admit a new member to the GIS? It nearly never happens.
It doesn't happen, actually. We have not had a new member since 2000. So
why?
2000 has been the same five people.
Why?
Because we all click... so well. I mean, we're an extremely eclectic group. We all come from different backgrounds. My wife's Native American. I'm Catholic. Barbara was raised. What were you raised, Barb?
Mormon.
Were you raised?
Mormon.
But my grandparents both practiced spiritualism, and
okay. That's
a big influence on me.
Okay. But so in other words, you don't want any disruptive influences in the group.
Right. We basically
trust.
Yeah, we know each other so well and have for quite a while. We know everybody is extremely passionate about what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're basically a family. We spend Christmases together. We, you know, all that.
Okay.
Sleep in the same room when we travel.
Sure. All right. Coming up, number 12. One more thing. When you travel, how much of that are you doing of late? In other words, I know you're not funded to any great degree by anything that we do here, so or any books or anything of that sort. So, how frequently do you travel? If you get an email saying, "Look, I'm really being haunted. I've got a terrible thing going on at my house, and I'm in Indiana." What do you do?
As of recently, we haven't been able to do it as much, and that's just mainly because of...
babies.
and having two young kids. But we will, if somebody contacts us from another state, we will try and point them in the right direction to somebody locally in their area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pretty much every state has at least two or three groups now.
Mm-hmm. I did a show not long ago. Regarding the Spiricom tapes, the George Meeks thing, and it looks like people are beginning to doubt the veracity of the whole George Meeks business. What do you think?
I've kind of always wondered that since I first got copies of the tapes back in 2005. After listening to them, I mean, it was really interesting to listen to this thing that I've heard about the entire time I've been investigating and finally being able to hear it. Mm-hmm. And it's just really, really tough to buy.
Yeah. All right. Here we go again. And again, these are getting a little weird. Number 12. Where was
all
number
right.
12?
This one was recorded. We were at an old Victorian style mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And Brendan was down in the basement, and you'll hear him say, "Is there anybody down here?" And EVP was recorded that sounds like it says, "Why won't you leave?" And then Brendan says, "Please, I ask that you do talk to me. That's why we're all here."
Hmm. But, of course, you're not having a two-way conversation. So if Brendan had heard the voice say, "Why won't you leave?" Just out of curiosity, Brendan, if you had actually heard the voice say, "Why won't you leave?" what would you have done?
Had I heard it, I would have asked, "Why do you want me to leave?" Mm-hmm. I mean, that would have been my first natural question.
All right. Well, here comes cut 12.
If there is anybody down here,
why won't you leave?
Please, I ask that you do talk to me. That's why we're all here.
Why won't you leave? Why won't you leave?
Almost doesn't. I'll replay it because we always replay. But that was very clear. Why won't you leave? Not good. Not good. And so many of these voices don't sound at all happy. In fact, I would say, of course, maybe you just pick the ones that are, you know, a little creepy. I don't know how you go through the process of picking what to put on the air, but they don't sound happy.
Well, we try to find and pick the most clear. We try to use the ones that have the most clarity to us.
Okay, the most clarity or the creepiest or both?
No, it's really the ones that are the clearest, the ones that you really don't have to strain to hear. You may have to try and strain to figure out what's saying, but you don't have to strain to hear that there's a voice there.
It's my basement. Why don't you leave? All right, cut 12, please, one more time.
If there is anybody down here,
why won't you leave?
Please, I ask that you do talk to me. That's why we're all here.
Why won't you leave? Why won't you leave?
Yeah. Would you agree with that then? Again, I'm not, you know, present when you all go through the process of picking these, but what percentage of EVPs do you get that when you listen to them, obviously, whoever it is not happy?
I'd say probably a good majority
yeah.
of them.
Yeah, no, and it isn't even so much what they're saying, it's just the tonal quality.
Yeah, exactly. So can we conclude that wherever these spirits are, it's not a happy place?
Oh, yeah.
I believe mentally they're not in a happy place mentally. That's why they're ghosts.
Okay. All right. Cut 13 comes from where?
Okay, this was in a Pioneer Museum in Lehi, Utah. And I'm talking to a lady that was with me in the basement of this museum. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, you know, it's not so bad that you can't see, but it's dark. And you're going to hear the EVP of an old lady. To me, it sounds like in a sing-song kind of voice, she's saying he's complaining.
Mm. Cut 13.
Not so bad that you can't see, but dark.
Wow. Boy, I agree. It sounds like a sing-song voice, as you pointed out, and it really does sound like he's saying, he's complaining. Is that what you hear, Barbara?
No, I don't hear that at all. I don't know what it's saying, but I know that there's definitely a voice there, but I cannot make out what it's saying. I don't hear that at all.
I wish you could tell me what you hear so I could try and hear that and see if I hear it just for fun.
I can't even make out what it is saying.
I hear the sing-songy voice, but I cannot make out the words.
Okay, I'm going to try and objectively listen to it this time, not necessarily trying to hear he's complaining and see what I hear. Cut 13, one more time, please.
Not so bad that you can't see, but dark.
Boy, I guess the power of suggestion is very, very strong, because even though I tried to objectively listen, I really heard he's complaining again. So, who knows? and again, I think the way these are listened to, you sort of sit, you know, around as a group, and you listen to them, and whoever gets the most votes for what was said is what you put down. But it's interesting to see if somebody wants to fast blast me and tell me what they heard in that one. I'd love to hear it. So onward we go. Cut 14.
All right. This is still in that same museum. And you'll hear Brendan say, okay, there's some odd humming in the background. It's the furnace. And I've heard some banging. No big deal. That also comes from the furnace. Other than that, I haven't noticed anything weird. And then he recorded, sounds like the same woman's voice, but it sounds like it's in a different language singing.
Huh, that's weird. All right, let's see what we hear. Cut 14.
Okay, there is a odd humming in the background, the furnace. I've heard some banging. No big deal. That also comes from the furnace. Other than that, I haven't noticed anything weird. I can hear people walking around upstairs. That's no big deal. I am downstairs by myself. Thing weird. I can hear people walking around upstairs. That's no big deal. Thing weird.
Oh, man.
I can hear people walking around upstairs. That's no big deal.
Oh, that one's really weird, and that brings up something that I always wondered about. As you're saying something, Brendan, I always wondered why there wasn't more interruption. In other words, if there was not a voice that was actually addressing you in real time, and it should happen as it just did in this one, where you're actually talking over part of the EVP, yes?
Yeah, and it does. The problem is, and the reason you haven't heard much of it, is because it interrupts, you know, whatever's being said. And over the radio, I mean, it just gets too confusing. You can't separate my voice from the actual voice itself. So normally we don't use those voices on the radio at all. We post them on our website. You can listen to them there, but we won't use them, you know, if we're doing a radio interview.
Well, believe me, I can hear the interruption.
Yeah, that was one of the better. Yeah.
Because of the singing, I think, you can actually hear the difference in the two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, weird stuff. And again, this is recorded in a Pioneer Museum. Cut 14 one more time.
Okay, there is a odd humming in the background, the furnace. I've heard some banging. No big deal. That also comes from the furnace. Other than that, I haven't noticed anything weird. I can hear people walking around upstairs. That's no big deal. I am downstairs by myself. Thing weird. I can hear people walking around upstairs. That's no big deal. Thing weird. I can hear people walking around upstairs. That's no big deal.
Well, at least they're singing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit on the positive side, huh?
Well, now, let me ask you that. I mean, do you hear that as English? Because I really don't. That sounds to me like a different language.
It might be. To be honest with you, I can't tell. But all I can tell is it definitely is singing, and it's, you know, it's singing. So it's slightly on the positive side. It's not something like, my God, it's hot down here, you know, or whatever. We've had a few of those in the past. So singing is good, I guess. I guess.
Yeah.
All right. On to number 15. By the way, folks, when we get through all of these, we are going to open lines and let you ask questions as you will. But also, once again, I guess I should say, number 15 is coming up. It's also recorded in a Pioneer Museum. Tell me about it.
All right. Well, if you like the singing, you're going to like this also. And again, this one is a man. That sounds like he's singing, again, in a different language. I can't figure it out. Barbara's husband actually thinks it's Native American. But what you're going to hear is me describing my surroundings, which is something I normally do because I use a big condenser mic, so I'm by myself most of the time. I can't move it around or anything. So, you know, we found that these entities actually interact with us when we're talking, whether it's to them or just by ourselves or to people in the group. So I'm just talking about, you know, my surroundings. I'm saying the shelves house artifacts, different historical things, arrowheads. I've been told that one of the boxes has a scalp that was found on the side of the road somewhere. The scalp's human, so that's wonderful. What else? It's dusty. Video and photography would be absolutely useless. And as soon as I finish saying useless, or actually while I'm saying useless, this man just starts singing.
Here we go. Cut 15.
The shelves house artifacts, different historical things, arrowheads. I've been told one of the boxes has a scalp that was found on the side of the road somewhere that is human. So that's wonderful. What else? It is dusty. Video and photography would be absolutely useless. Useless.
Wow.
Useless.
Boy, you know, that is so clear, but it's not, but I can't understand what's being said. So you might be right. It might be another language, and maybe there's somebody in the audience. It's clear enough that somebody in the audience might get exactly what's said. So, boy, if you've got it, fast blast me, folks. We're going to give it to you again. It's cut 15, and so listen very carefully, and if somebody can help us out here, please do. Go ahead.
The shelves house artifacts, different historical things, arrowheads. I've been told one of the boxes has a scalp that was found on the side of the road somewhere that is human. So that's wonderful. What else? It is dusty. Video and photography would be absolutely useless. Useless.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't make out a single word.
Nor can I, but it's a big audience out there. Incidentally, I guess we ought to get this out. In case somebody wants to email you, and I'm sure a lot of people do, how can they do that?
They can go to our website. Ghostpix.com, and that's PIX.com. And all of our contact info is on there. You can email the group as a whole or each member individually.
GHOSTPIX.com?
Uh-huh, correct.
Okay, that'll tell you more about the group. There are, I guess, a whole lot of cuts and even some video up there as well, right?
Oh, yeah, there's hundreds of EVPs, lots of video, pictures. Everything's completely free. Yeah, I mean, we offer everything that we've done over the last 10, 11 years up on that site.
How do you guys finance all this?
Ourselves.
It's hard, but it's one of those, we do it just for the love of the work. And, you know, we've always compared it to show and tell when you're in grade school. That's all we do.
Just presenting what we get.
Yeah, I don't know about show and tell, and comparing it to school, but Yeah. Okay, so there you have it, folks. We're at another break point here, and that's just what we're going to do. We take a break, and we'll be right back. But these are getting troubling. We will have some open lines coming up in the final hour. From Manila, Philippines, I'm Art Bell. So much truth in music, it'll soon be your tomorrows. Believe me, a lot of truth in that. I still feel like I'm in my 20s or something, but I'm not. I'm now 64 years old, and it just sort of happened. That's the way it works. So keep it in mind, folks. Life is short, even though it doesn't seem that way. And toward the latter end of life, time seems to speed up. It's a real phenomenon. It does. When you're very young, of course, it's only very small. One day is a very small portion of your life. When you're very young, 1 week, very long indeed, a month forever. But as you get older, everything seems to speed up. It's a function of, I don't know what it's a function of, but it definitely happens. More EVPs in a moment. That OnStar commercial was pretty cute. You know, how disappointing it would be, you know, if you're a thief and you get your car out there somewhere, your stolen car, and realize that, you know, the cops are on the way. You'll hear the sirens, and then psh, it's all over. Very disappointing if you're a thief. Very, very disappointing. And I guess they're going to have to keep up with the technology. All right. EVPs are what we're all about. We'll try and we've got some real whoppers coming up, so we'll try and get through them in this half hour and devote the following hour to your calls, if we can do that. So, Brendan and Barbara, on to number 16. Tell me where it was recorded.
All right. I believe these last ones were recorded in the same house. And this,
correct.
This house is in an area that was one of the first Mormon settlements in Utah. They have found graves there in this location that they didn't know were there just from construction projects that have been going on around there. And there's a lot of things that have taken place in this house over the years. And you're going to hear Brendan say, I'm going to walk down and try to find Brian, who was a gentleman that was with us on this particular night.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look here. And he timestamps it at 8:23. And he says, I am now leaving. And you'll hear him leave and close the door. And no one else was in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll hear the EVP say, get out, after Brendan leaves.
Get out. Okay. All right. Number 16, please.
I'm going to walk down and try and find Brian. So let me look here. Timestamp is 8:23. So at 8:23, I am now leaving.
And if you recall from past shows, we get told that a lot.
Yeah, it's like you're not welcome. And it's like they know what you're doing, and you're just not welcome. And that would worry me as an investigator. Being told to get out like that
brings us back for more.
Well, yeah, just, but especially in this house. This house, I rarely have bad feelings about places. I mean, I don't feel anything at all. I mean, I go into prisons, and I don't feel anything there.
Right.
This house, there was just something ominous about it that I did not like. And, of course, you know, having the condenser mic, I had to sit there by myself waiting for people to show up. So I'm just sitting there, you know, trying to talk to people on the radio, and that actually leads us into the next voice.
Okay. All right. Before we do it, I'm going to let 16 go one more time just because of the tone of the voice. 16 again, please, and we'll move on.
I'm going to walk down and try and find Brian. So let me look here. timestamp is 8:23. So at 8:23, I am now leaving.
That's creepy. That really is creepy. All right, let's just move on to number 17.
All right, now 17, there's a lot of context to this, so I'm not going to read everything that I say. It's going to be pretty obvious what I'm saying. But to give you the background on it, I had a radio with me, a walkie-talkie radio, and some other members of the group had theirs with them. I was, again, in this house by myself, and other members of the group were quite a few houses down from me. There's over 50 houses in this entire settlement that we were at. And I was trying to radio to them to get them to come back up here because I thought I heard things happening. So I wanted more recorders, you know, more video cameras, all that.
Right.
And it seems almost like something was just trying to mess up the radio. It wasn't allowing me to radio them. I would get little snippets of people talking, them talking. I thought it was them. Then I could hear what sounded maybe like a child in the radio static. It goes through all this stuff. You can hear me kind of getting frustrated with the radio that it's not working. And finally, I get to the point where I say, I'm just shutting it off. And then after I do that, you hear a woman say, that was funny.
Okay, this is a complicated one. So listen very carefully. Number 17.
Okay, what was that? I know I'm not just magically picking stuff up here. Okay, I was talking to you guys perfectly not even a few minutes ago. Hello? This is fantastic. Yeah. I'm getting your page. Okay, what was that? That kind of sounded like a kid. Okay, this ain't cool. Yeah, okay, I'm getting your pages. Why can't you answer me? Okay, I've got your page. Can you hear me now? I couldn't understand anything you just said. It comes in for like not even a second. And if I have to walk 10 houses down, I'm going to be upset. Okay, I'm putting this down. Ugh. Seriously? I'm shutting this off. I'm great. Hopefully that wasn't worth anything. Okay.
At the end, the voice at the end sounds like a woman's voice, and it sounds like that was funny or that was funky. I can't quite make it out.
I couldn't either.
But at that point, the radio was off, if not broken. in previous EVPs that you've presented to us, you've never had a radio with you. And it surprises me that you had one this time. What was up with that?
Well, it was because of the size of the location we were investigating.
People being spread out over a large area.
Like I said, there was a total of over 50 buildings to investigate. So we had people 10, 20 houses away from where other members were at. So just to keep communication with everybody, we had to have a radio.
Yep, gotcha. Do you think that what you were hearing on the radio in those small snippets was just a malfunction of people trying to talk to you, or do you think you were hearing EVPs on the radio?
No, I honestly, I don't think they were EVPs. There was a point where I thought I heard what sounded like a child, but being rational and skeptical like I am, that could be, you know, a jump transmission, something like that. I mean, I can't say that that was any kind of EVP.
Mm-hmm.
The woman at the end, I do believe, was definitely. And it's just kind of odd the whole way the situation happens where the radio malfunctions like that, and then the EVP comes in at the end.
Yeah, and if she said that, that was funny. I guess she was being humored by your frustration.
Well, yeah, and you can tell. I mean, I'm pretty frustrated because it literally wasn't 5 minutes before that that I could talk to him just fine on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, we'll play that one more time. Number 17.
Okay, what was that? I know I'm not just magically picking stuff up here. Okay, I was talking to you guys perfectly not even a few minutes ago. Hello? This is fantastic. Yeah. I'm getting your page. Okay, what was that? That kind of sounded like a kid. Okay, mm-hmm. This ain't cool. Yeah, okay, I'm getting your pages. Why can't you answer me? Okay, I've got your page. Can you hear me now? I couldn't understand anything you just said. It comes in for like not even a second. And if I have to walk 10 houses down, I'm going to be upset. Okay, I'm putting this down. Ugh. Seriously? I'm shutting this off. I'm great. Hopefully that wasn't worth anything. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about funny. That was, I can hear that was and then something.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. All right, let's just move on to number 18. This also recorded at one of the first Mormon settlements in Utah, right?
Yes, it's in the same house.
Okay.
This was shortly after that episode that we just listened to, and Brendan's trying to radio again to another team member, and he says, "Hello, okay, does nobody's radio work?" And you'll hear a loud static, and then you'll hear a man's voice say, "I don't like you."
All right, number 18.
Hello. Okay. Does nobody's radio work? Oh my.
Yikes. Boy, again, that's not a happy attitude at all. I don't like you. It just bothers me. The whole thing of, you know, the tone. It's mostly the tone of these EVPs that's so concerning to me.
Right.
Have you ever had any luck in identifying the actual voices that you're hearing? I don't know if that would even be possible. I don't know if you could talk to people who had relatives who passed or... But have you actually ever identified the voice that you've heard?
No. The closest we get to that is recording names. There was a case where we recorded a name and actually found a headstone in the cemetery where we recorded that name with the corresponding name. That, I think, is probably the closest we've got to that.
Wow. All right, the final one that we've got before we go to open lines, again, recorded at the same Mormon settlement in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
It should be, it looks like a long one, and it should be very interesting. Tell me about it, Brendan.
Yeah, this one, it's again in the same house, and this was, this one freaked me out. I did not like this. What you're going to hear is, and again, I'm the only one in the house. You're going to hear footsteps coming from upstairs. It's a two-level house. I was on the bottom, and then there is an upstairs area. This house was probably, what, 120 years old, Barb? Somewhere
yeah,
around there.
And it's very small.
Yeah. Anyway, you're going to hear footsteps coming from upstairs, and then you're going to hear me say, okay, make a note to check at 1347 on the recording, you know, just to see if I could hear the footsteps on the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Then the footsteps continue. Then you hear me say, okay, something's definitely odd here. I'm going to leave the condenser mic down here unless I see something or hear something upstairs. Then I'll relocate everything up there. As of now, I'm going to leave it down here and take the handheld recorder, so I'm now exiting the room. You'll hear me walk upstairs. You hear me say, hello, can you hear me? And then as soon as I finish saying, can you hear me, you hear what sounds like crashing right next to the microphone downstairs where nobody should be.
And Brendan didn't hear anything crashing.
And I mean, as loud as this is, I should have been able to hear it. And as soon as the crashing finishes, you hear, I can only describe it as animal noises, grunting, growling, kind of pig noises, sort of. And as soon as that stops, you know, I'm upstairs for about 10 minutes. So I actually put about a second of silence to constitute the 10 minutes I'm upstairs and nothing happened. And then after that second of silence, you hear me walking back down the stairs, back to the microphone, and you're going to hear me say, okay, I'm back from upstairs and I found nothing. And as soon as I finish saying nothing, you hear just this loud, loud pounding. I mean, the footsteps basically became banging on the walls. And you hear me say, okay, the footsteps have now turned into full on what sounds like banging.
All right.
That's it.
All right. All right. Cut 19.
Okay, make a note to check at 1347 on the recording. Okay, something is definitely odd here. I'm going to leave the condenser mic down here. Unless I see something or hear something upstairs, then I will relocate everything upstairs. As of now, I'm going to leave it down here and take just the handheld recorder. So I am now exiting the room. Okay, I'm back from upstairs and found nothing. Okay, yeah, the footsteps have now turned into full-on what sounds like banging.
Do that one more time as we come back from the top of the hour. We're going to take a break and I can use it right now. You're listening to EVP from the GIS, the Ghost Investigators Society. I'm Art Bell from the flip side of the world, Manila in Philippines, Southeast Asia. We'll be right back. Land of the Mayan volcano that's getting ready to go. They really think it's going to blow big. Hopefully it will not, but if it does, I suppose we could have an ash raining down on us here. It's an interesting life here, to be sure. Other side of the world, and it's great to be talking with you. It's great to be here, period. My guests are the GIS, Barbara Macbeth, and Brennan Cook, representing the GIS this evening, and we've been playing a number of cuts that to me, they're extremely troubling, very troubling. Why? Because none of them are happy. They're not happy at all. So wherever they are, I guess I can only conclude for the most part, it's not a happy place. The rest of you can just sort of, I guess, I don't know, let me know what you think. What do you think we're hearing? What do you think this is? In a moment, we're going to replay cut number 19, which is certainly troubling. All the banging and the, I don't know. Anyway, listen, GIS, back in a moment. A couple of very quick things. One is kind of a summary of the fast blasts that I've been receiving. Those are messages I get by computer that come in virtually real time from all of you. There was vast agreement that earlier, one of the cuts, or a couple of the cuts actually, were a Native American tongue, and a whole bunch of different tribes were suggested, but nobody's quite sure. The second, and I think very interesting observation from the fast blasts, would be that a high percentage of them seem to indicate that animals, cats and dogs, have been getting very, very disturbed by these cuts. Now, I have no idea what that means. I'm simply reporting to you the messages as I get them. Do either one of you have any thoughts on animals getting disturbed by these?
You know, it's happened before. On your show, it's happened before. In particular, I remember one voice from a prison that said the word holly. And when we played that, and I remember you saying that you had quite a few reports of people saying that their animals didn't like it.
I've got a lot of reports about animals. Okay, again, just remind people, this Cut 19 is recorded at one of the first Mormon settlements in Utah. It's a little different because there's banging sounds, there's what sounds like pig or animal sounds, and so it's not the normal EVP that we play. Anything you want to add to that before we do a repeat?
The only thing I can think of is this isn't the only time it's happened in this house. We actually went back there a couple months later, and in that exact same house, one of our members heard what sounded was marbles dropping on the floor.
And then banging. It was Barry that experienced it. He was in there by himself, and all of a sudden he said all hell broke loose and had banging footsteps up stairs going across the floor that he could hear. He didn't stay there. He wouldn't stay there any longer. He left.
Mm-hmm. The expression all hell breaking loose is, I don't know if it's good in this context. Anyway, let us repeat cut 19.
Okay, make a note to check at 1347 on the recording. Okay, something is definitely odd here. I'm going to leave the condenser mic down here. Unless I see something or hear something upstairs, then I will relocate everything upstairs. As of now, I'm going to leave it down here and take just the handheld recorder. So I am now exiting the room. Okay, I'm back from upstairs and found nothing. Okay, yeah, the footsteps have now turned into full-on what sounds like banging. Thank you.
I would be so gone from there. So gone from there. Obviously, you were hearing this. I mean, this was audibly loud. This wasn't just being picked up by the recorder silently. You were hearing it, right?
No, I heard the footsteps and the banging.
That's what I mean.
Crashing, yeah, the crashing and the animal noise, no, I did not hear any of that. But yes, the footsteps and the banging I heard, and being, again, kind of skeptical and trying to rationalize everything, I figured it's a really old house, it's extremely cold, you know, maybe the wood is settling somehow, that's what I'm hearing.
I told him, wood settling, a house settling doesn't bang.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't think so either. In addition, in the beginning, although it wasn't banging, in the beginning I could have sworn I heard a heartbeat, but who knows? It sounded almost like a heartbeat. All right, look, we're going to go to the phones. That's it for tonight in terms of the number of EVPs that we're going to play, but I'm sure there are lots and lots of questions from the audience. We'll begin with John in Lima, Ohio. John, welcome.
Art and guests, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Had a question for you in regards to the Holocaust sites. Are you aware of any attempts to pick up EVPs or readings from the Holocaust sites by anyone?
I have heard there's actually some German investigation groups that are working on doing that. Obviously, there is an issue with getting permission.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, they are. There are people definitely doing it, and I have heard that it has been done, and there were supposedly recordings that were taken from there. I haven't heard any, though.
Yeah, I know that's a rather sensitive subject, you know, in regards to where they would be doing it at. So, okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. And again, I'm interested if people in the audience would like to comment on what they're hearing, not specifically what they're hearing, but what do you think you're hearing? In other words, are we hearing some in-between place? And how do you feel about what you're hearing? It's troubling. It's concerning. I don't know. It totally freaks me out, and not in a good way. So we'll see what people think if they want to offer it up. Bob in Van Nuys, California, you are on the air with GIS. Hi.
Hi. Could you hear me?
I hear you.
Oh, very good. Okay. Yeah, another wonderful and scary show at the same time. Okay, gosh, this really is interesting. Now, I've been listening to you guys for a while, and here's one of my conclusions before I ask you a question. This is just what I think this could possibly be. As Einstein basically said that light, things at the speed of light, we can manipulate time with the speed of light. And Art Bell knows as much as I do that the thought, human thought processes transfer faster than the speeding light. Now, the old saying is, you're going so fast, you're going backwards. Now, the thing is, a lot of people dream. They have dreams, and they see into the future. I'm thinking what you're picking up, some of these are people in the past dreaming and projecting their mental thoughts from a different time into your recorders. You never see anything from the past. You see them from, you know, the past, not from the future. So, because I do this a lot of times, I could dream and see things in the future. I've been able to do that as a kid and draw drawings, and 10 years later, I'll see that exact image. So I think some of these things you're seeing are from the future. People sleeping in a meditated state, and they're actually projecting parts of the sleepscape into your tape recorder. You're actually picking up their dreams from the past. And some of these are dead people, obviously. And some people may be dead, but not fully dead, maybe in a coma and thinking that they're dead from a hospital. So that's just my thought of what this could be.
All right. The only hole that I would shoot in that is that so many of these are responsive in some way to something said in real time. If what you're saying or suggesting is true, then it ought to be completely non-responsive to anything any of the GIS members or anybody else doing these would say.
No, that's incorrect, because when you're dreaming, you're actually in that dimension. When you're sleeping, you travel into that dimension, because I do that too. I went to the year 2080 just to see what it was like, and you could interact with people there on a mental level. They think that it's their own thoughts, but you could communicate with people. You could ask remote viewers. They do the same thing too. You could move your mind into the future and communicate with people in the future and interact with them.
Just out of curiosity, if you're in 2080, what was it like?
You really want to know, Art?
I wouldn't have asked otherwise, yeah.
It scared the living you-know-what out of me. I was looking, I was inside an apartment building on like the fifth floor looking out the window. I saw humans coming out of an underground subway. Their walking started strange. After a while, I realized in the room that the people that were in the room were machines. They weren't human, Art. Everything around was, everybody was a machine. They weren't human anymore. They're robots that look like humans because they're walking strange. And I didn't see any humans at that date. They were just artificial humans, robotic people walking around.
Gotcha. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much. You two want to comment on that? I mean, time does somehow twist into all of this, or may. There may be some form of time travel involved.
Well, and that goes back to what I was saying earlier in the show. One of the questions I'm asking a lot recently is, do you have a concept of time? Do you know what time is? Does it mean anything to you?
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman made a good point, but, you know, again, I kind of see holes in that, like you mentioned. The interaction, but he did kind of explain that. The other one is the contemporary information that we get. You know, things that, you know, these people would have to be pretty familiar with to be able to tell us certain things. Like, for one example, the plastic eyes, a license plate number of a car that was, you know, a little ways away from us that there's no way we would have seen it, but it read off the license plate number.
Okay, interest of time, let's move on. Marsha in Medford, Oregon. Welcome, Marsha. You're on with the GIS.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay, well, I've had a similar experience in my house. I have a walk-in closet with attic access, and plain as day, very angry, I heard FUB come from my attic. And I've had lots of experiences in my house. I've had a lamp where I plugged it in, turned it on, unplugged it, and the light still stayed on. And so I thought in my head, how could the light still be on? And then it would click off.
Have you recorded? Have you tried to record?
No.
Any kind of research at that location of who might have lived there?
Well, it's a new house, but there was an old house that was torn down before that.
Your house was built on a place that had a prior home on it.
Right, right. Yeah. I do have a picture where I actually took a picture of a piece of artwork on my wall, and you can kind of see like this white, it almost looks like a ghost or something. And then you could see little faces in there. And then it looks like almost like a witch with a robe on. And
have you done any kind of research on who lived in this prior home?
No, I haven't. But
maybe I should.
Well, I'm moving.
All right. Thank you very much. And again, I'm hoping some of the audience will offer up what they feel about what they're hearing. And by that, I mean, gosh, it seems like an unhappy place. It seems so unhappy. Let's go to Ontario, Canada, and Keith. Hi, Keith.
Yeah, hi, Art. I've been listening to you for, you might know, as long as I can remember. These two here are my favorite guests. There's one track that you're all in disagreement with, track 13. I put my ear, I just jammed it right to the speaker, and you might agree, I clearly hear Please Don't Blame Me, if you can
really?
Play that, Art.
What was it, track 13?
Track 13, yes.
That's the one where they thought he was saying he's complaining, right?
Yeah, clearly, Please Don't Blame Me. Yeah.
Don't Blame Me. All right, we'll listen for that right now. If we can go to track 13, it's a short one. Okay, go ahead.
Not so bad that you can't see, but
dark.
Oh, yeah, I can hear that.
Yep.
I couldn't hear he's complaining.
Wow.
I can hear that now that you said that.
That really points out the power of suggestion involved in these, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Because I could never hear he's complaining, but that I can hear.
That's remarkable.
No, that makes a lot more sense. And I do hear that a lot stronger than I hear he's complaining. I also do want to mention, during the break, I posted all these EVPs on the website. So anybody who wants to re-listen to them can actually just go to the site and download them now.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult for us to go back in each case and replay.
Right.
So hopefully not too many people will suggest that. Still, it does show the power of suggestion. Off to Spokane, Washington, and Jeff, you're on the air with GIS. Good morning.
Good morning. Two things. First, I put myself in the place of the ghosts, if that's what they are. I wouldn't want my living space being turned into a permanent or a popular research site, and I'd be doing anything I could to get people away. I'd be going, mwah, you know, share anything. And, I mean, all right, didn't you put like a, you know, protective barrier around your place in Pahrump? I mean, maybe the only weapon they have to keep people away is, you know, putting on some false, scary facade and, keeping these people, keeping the media away, you know? I mean,
I think you're on to what does take place and why. From the recordings that we did at this location, it was obvious that the band didn't want us there. He wasn't happy that we were there. And on both occasions that we were at this house, the banging, the loud footsteps, anything to try to freak people out to get them out of there took place. And I think that happens a lot of times on places that we have gone and activity is intensified.
Yeah, and my second thing is maybe we're scaring them, and maybe they're more innocent perhaps than we realize. Maybe their reactions might be that, you know, from thinking that they're seeing a ghost.
And that's very possible.
And maybe we're each other's ghosts in different dimensions. You know, I mean.
Boy, I never thought about that.
I've felt that many times too, that to them we possibly could seem like ghost activity to them.
Yeah,
sure. Maybe that, you know, that's their new excuse the word matrix, but their new reality,
mm-hmm.
and we're the ghosts. Interesting way to look at it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Did you ever see the movie The Others?
Oh yes. Oh yes.
A whole different concept.
Indeed. All right. Take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour. Welcome your calls, and certainly would welcome your observations about what we're hearing. It's nothing if troubling. Boy, it is troubling to me. From Southeast Asia, just a hop, skip, and a jump from Vietnam, Cambodia. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. None of us will really know until the time's up, our time. But when you listen to things like you've heard tonight, if you've been with us, it's impossible not to speculate about what we're hearing. Simply and absolutely impossible. More GIS in a moment. Once again, Barbara Macbeth and Brendan Cook, and they live in Utah. They simply go out and record at various locations the kind of things that you've been hearing this night and offer them up for your consideration. And that's exactly what it is. It's your consideration, what you think they are. I'm very interested in what you think they are. Dan in La Mesa, California, welcome.
Hi, Art.
Hey.
Hi. Very excited to be calling. This is the first time I've ever called on the show before. So I know what tracks number 14 and 15 are. They're both in Polish. And the first one is a Christmas song in Polish, and the second one is the Polish national anthem. And I know this because, yeah, when I was a kid, I'm 32 years old, and when I was a kid, my mom is full Polish, and she taught us, myself and my two brothers and sister taught us how to sing these songs for Christmas time, and just to kind of get our heritage type thing. And I had to do a double take when I turned the radio on and I heard that playing. And then when you played it again, it was totally clear to me that the number 14, the female that's singing, she's singing a Christmas song, and then the second one, the male, singing the Polish national anthem.
And that's actually, it's interesting that you just mentioned that, because I'm looking at my email here, and I have an email from somebody saying the exact same thing. Put 14 and 15 as part of a Polish Christmas song. It actually spells it out.
Wow. Timely also.
Really?
That's something, all right. Well, you know, we frequently had questions about other languages. And so there you are. It really does come occasionally in other languages, although the bulk of EVPs seem to come in English. Just occasionally you get them in other languages, and that certainly was a case. Wow, that's fascinating. All right, New Orleans, Louisiana. Natalie, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing? You're my favorite. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you a couple of things. First, you were asking our opinions on everything that we're hearing. Mm-hmm. I believe I've seen and felt and heard all sorts of things since I've been on Earth, and I believe in multiple existences and parallel universes and dimensions and all that, because I'd know for a fact that death is not the end. It's just an illusion. It's real, but it's a transfer is what it is, to another. That's all I can say. But anyway, I wanted to tell two stories, but first on that, I would like to say that, I believe that everything is made of energy, of course, and electricity, and we're very capable of leaving imprints. While we're here, we leave huge imprints, and when we leave to transfer to the other, we leave imprints as well. And sometimes we're able to access this realm, you know. Basically, you're free. You're not tied down. You're able to access with voice and sometimes, you know, physically too. There's no rules, if you know what I mean.
Okay, but if they're just imprints, Natalie, then how can they be responsive to something contemporary?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Sometimes they're imprints, like a fingerprint, almost like in the past, like a memory. And other times, that's why there's no rule on this. Other times, they are spirits that either feel stuck or spirits that need to communicate something. You know what I mean? Like, they either need to communicate with you or with others, purposefully need to communicate a message to you to let you know that they do exist and there is another side. Because some people don't know that. A lot of people do know that. A lot of people do. People that listen to your show probably do. Mm-hmm. But let me give you two stories really quick, because I don't want you to hang up before I tell these two things to all the people that are listening.
Very quickly.
Okay. My friend Candace died in May of this year. She was very, very young. She was 10 years old. And she died in her sleep, and I was very, 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 very upset one night at the movie theater. I'd come out of the movies, and my friend and I were looking at pictures of her on our cell phones, and I felt extremely depressed and extremely sad, and I started to cry when I was walking around leaving the theater by myself. I heard a voice say, "Look down at your feet," and I looked down, and there was a little candy on the ground, like a heart-shaped candy. Everything that she liked had hearts. Everything. She had heart stickers, heart, everything, hearts. So I picked up the heart-shaped candy, and it was nowhere near Valentine's Day, and it said, "With you," on it. So I kept that and showed it to her mother and her grandmother, and they thought that it was very, very amazing and meaningful because they know her. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to tell everybody that. So
okay, well, listen, I appreciate it. We're going to have to hold it to one story, but I don't know, coincidence, meaningful, you know, who knows? From Alabama comes Luann, I believe. Luann?
Hey.
Hi.
I just want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. And on your track 17, the lady in there, does she say what just happened?
Well, I think it was supposed to be that was funny, but it was hard. I didn't think it was that, so.
No, I didn't think it was anything, you know, near funny. But
what
I
did you think it was?
What just happened.
What just happened. Okay. Well, and like I said earlier, you can go ahead and go to our website. Just click on the EVP section and listen mm-hmm. to the track again. And, you know, just tell us what you think it says. We're actually, within the next week, going to be adding a section on each voice where people can comment on what they think it is saying.
Okay. We're going to try to replay it right now. Okay. Ontario, TJ, you're on the air with the GIS. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have a quick question. I just want to ask the professionals. I'm going to slightly deviate off of what we're talking about, but I had an incident about a year and a half ago, and just to tell you a little bit about me, I'm the most skeptical person, or I was, when it came to things of this nature. And if anybody ever told me that they believe in ghosts or even talked to me about that stuff, I just think quack job, nut job, or whatever. But my whole thinking changed about a year and a half ago. And what happened to me was, after it happened, I looked it up somewhat. It's internet age nowadays, so any questions, you Google it, you look for it. But what it basically comes down to is like a situation of sleep paralysis, but I actually saw a spirit, or I would say it's a ghost or whatever it was. What happened was I was sleeping in my bedroom. I'm in the basement. My family lives with me. My mother and father take care of them. They live upstairs. The whole basement area is mine. Walking down the stairs about 2:30-ish in the morning, I was awoken by my aunt calling out my name. My aunt, she lives across the street from me. At the first instance, I heard the voice. At the first time my name was called out, I couldn't make out who it was. As the thing was walking down the stairs, I could hear it. Second time, I heard I made out the voice. It was my aunt. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking 2:30 in the morning, something must be wrong. There must be a death in the time. Something must have happened for her to be here at this time. Mm-hmm. Then as my door opens up, I see a figure. As like if you're in a dark room or even your house is the lights off, somebody walks by, you can't make out who it is, but it's a dark figure. And so my door opens, bedroom door, the lights are off. But at this time, I pushed myself up to my headboard on my bed just to get up a little bit because somebody's coming to my room. And then, but as the figure walks into my room, at this point, I'm thinking it's just my aunt. And then I call out to her, no response, and it's still walking towards me, the figure. It's a pretty large room. I call out the second time, and no response again. At this time, my mind goes completely the opposite direction, burglar. And just like almost any guy or whoever in the house, you have a baseball bat or something around, laying around. I quickly, just about to go get the baseball bat, think it's a burglar. But just at that moment, the figure, it's like a cloud of smoke, but not just the shape. It just flew up over and came straight towards my bed. And then I just felt a huge weight on my body, and I couldn't move. I was almost paralyzed. And then at that moment, as honest as I could say without sounding crazy, I saw hands that were, the fingers about three times the size of normal, and the eyes were just sticking right out. I couldn't really make out anything else except for the big eyes and the hair, just gray hair, and it looked like a white face just right over me. And then I just jumped, and I just swung at the thing and then ran and flicked the lights on. I think I sat there for almost an hour and a half wondering what the hell had just happened. About took me 6 months to shut the lights off before I went to bed. And I'm 28 years old. I'm not a child. And
as a skeptic, how come you didn't just think, it was a bad dream?
No, because first I tried to convince myself that, no, I was half asleep. Remember, I wasn't half asleep. And I tried to find any type of scientific reason that maybe it's when you're like in a half sleep state or something mm-hmm. would cause you to imagine. And but the freaky thing was when I went online, I just put in what had kind of happened, and then I found that there's something that they call the old hag, or there's a term to it anyways, and mm-hmm. They say it happens to people from all different continents, all over the world, the same, and it was somewhat a similar experience.
So okay, well, listen, thank you for the call. We just don't have a lot of time left. I appreciate the call, however. Now, what about it, you two? How often is there a manifestation of that kind?
It's fairly common.
Is it?
Just what he just reported, if you do Google that, the old hag sleep paralysis,
right?
I mean, it happens almost exactly like what he described. And we've actually had people that we've, you know, that they've called us on investigation, and they've experienced it. A few shows back, we played some voices from what we called the witch's house, and they claim they experienced that.
How many times have you experienced visual phenomena along with what you've done in terms of recording?
We've experienced that over the years several times.
With me, only once, with seeing a boy. Barbara, I think, has been a few times.
Roger and Jenny and Barry.
Yeah, everybody at least has once.
Over the years.
Okay. All right. Right there in Utah, along with you all, Red. Hello, Red.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
I have a question and a quick logical theory. But the question mm-hmm. is, I just caught the last part of the clip, the last clip, and that transmission there, or that sound, crash sound, the ones that you can't make out, have you ever thought about turning it around and running it backwards, playing it backwards?
No, we've had people suggest that, and I know there's the theory about reverse speech and all that, but to me that goes along with the psychics and things like that, where you're trying to use something that's already unproven to prove something that's already unproven.
I'm not looking at to prove anything. I just see what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, we haven't done that.
Quick theory, logical theory. Everybody knows that when the body dies, the spirit leaves it. Now, I don't believe there's dimensions and parallel universes. It just doesn't make sense. Death is very logical. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. Very simply put, when the spirit leaves the body, it can stay on Earth. It can go anywhere it wants. It can, you know, just based on thought, it can say, you know, let's go to the moon and be standing there looking at the Earth, hypothetically. Okay, but these spirits know what's going on. They see what's going on. They know you guys are there. I sounded like that guy wasn't too happy, and it's how ironic it's the same guy's voice in all three, but two, three clips there, and he wants you to leave. And basically, that last one was a kind of encouragement, don't come back type of deal. Does that make sense? But
well, I'll take it a step further. Of those that say things like get out, or the equivalent of get out, and you take this back and you hear it later, does that discourage you from going back to that same location again, or does it encourage you to go back?
Oh, yeah. We were back after these clips were recorded. We were back there, what, a month later?
Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, it's obvious, and sometimes, just like what took place here with the banging and that going on, it's obvious that something isn't happy with us being there.
Mm-hmm.
But
you don't take the hint.
Well, there's nothing harmful. I mean, it's just noise and banging. There's nothing. Nobody gets hurt. If the noise scares you, then you probably shouldn't be in there, because your fear can cause you to get hurt.
Right.
That's a good point. Jason in Sacramento, you're on with GIS. Good morning.
Hello. I was listening on the part with the right before the Native American. It sounded like the lady was singing. It sounded like she said devil in there. And another thing, I was wondering if they ever bring dogs or cats in when they go into these houses. Places, the animals react to spirits.
All I can say again is, of these fast blasts I'm getting, a lot of people have said their animals are disturbed just from what they've heard on the radio, so that much I can tell you.
Right, and you know, honestly, I mean, we are aware that just like children, animals seem to be more aware of ghosts than us as adults. But no, to answer your question, we've never brought animals with us.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very quickly, Phyllis, not much time in Florida. You're on the air with GIS.
We have two family cemeteries in the small town that I come from. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if it's been recorded in a cemetery and you could recognize a family member or a story that you heard about a family member.
Okay. Have you ever had anybody record in a cemetery, recognize, you know, their relative's voice? Let me do that. Okay. So how about it? Brendan, Barbara? Okay. Apparently we lost Brendan and Barbara, but that's okay. I think we can live with that. It's toward the end of the program anyway. If we get them back, fine, and we'll say goodnight, but we're very close to the end. You know, all of this is very, very, very thought-provoking for me. Very thought-provoking. I'm going to spend a lot of time thinking about this program, as I have each and every one of the GIS programs that we've done over the years, because I think it's the most credible evidence of some kind of life after death. The troubling part of it is, it doesn't sound like a good existence. I won't say life, because apparently life is over. Although suggested earlier in the program, and I think reasonably so, was the fact that perhaps when we cross over, kind of like the Matrix, and again, excuse the use of that expression, the other side becomes reality, as real as what you're living right now. And so perhaps we're the ghosts that they occasionally hear, as we seem to occasionally hear them. I don't know. It's really hard to say, isn't it? But again, what you've heard tonight was presented for the for your consideration. And I certainly hope you've done that. And if you want to email me, remember I'm artbell@mindspring.com. I'd love to know what you thought you heard tonight and what you thought of the, I don't know, kind of negative aspect of most of what was said or heard. At any rate, that's what Coast to Coast AM is for, not the usual, but the unusual. From Manila in the Philippines, Southeast Asia, I'm Art Bell. Good night.